August 21st, 1998. Dear Elaine and Alex, I am now certified to do Reiki. I gave Quentin a treatment last night and he loved it. He said he would like to have that every night, and he will. The heat from the hands feels so good. The anticipation of the trip to Oregon has spurred Quentin to exercise. He is excited at the thought of celebrating our 56th wedding anniversary at Mount Rainier. He can see how much he needs to exercise. One time when I was talking about having a wheelchair at the airport, he said he didn't need it. He admits now that he does. I'm afraid if we wait too long, the Paradise Inn will be snowed in. I don't know what the situation with the weather is now, but Quentin remembered that the inn was going to close the day we left, which would have been around September 9, 1942. There were lots of people there on Labor Day, but I can't remember anyone else being there on Tuesday. It was in November, before Thanksgiving, that the Army took a truckload of men, including your father, to Mount Rainier to go skiing. They anticipated some of the men might be shipped to the European theater, and skiing was the skill they might need. I would guess we might have to wait until spring, but I haven't told Quentin. You wouldn't want him in your lovely new home until he gets his prostate condition taken care of. Larry sure isn't taking care of himself. He's overweight, smokes, has high blood pressure, and is a borderline diabetic, in addition to which he is a terrible worrier. We pray for him every night that he will accept the guidance available to him in relationship to the management of his money and the care of his body. I haven't told Deb and Greg about Reiki. Deb would probably think I was into Satanism or something like that. Unity is bad enough. She doesn't believe anyone can be saved or have the Spirit of God unless he has confessed Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. Once I quoted the Bible verse, "Know ye not that your body is a holy temple and that God dwells in it?" The practice of Reiki comes from the Japanese, and I doubt she would accept that they know anything about the universal life force or the healing power within each person. We'll mention it to her when I see her, but I don't think it's wise to try to write about it in a letter. I hope all is going well with you folks. Love to you both. Mom. September 1st, 1998. Dear Elaine and Alex, Quentin and I just came in from walking. He does much better in the morning than at night. He got along fine riding his bicycle this afternoon for 2 miles. We went to the pool on Monday and plan on going again tomorrow. He sure wants to go to Oregon. I personally feel it might be better if we waited until spring, but I'm not going to make that suggestion to him. Who knows what could happen to him this winter? He hasn't had any trouble with the prostate for a couple days now, so hopefully it might be under control. I have been giving Quentin a Reiki treatment every night when he goes to bed, and he sure is sleeping better. I don't think I get out of the room before he's asleep. I have been working on his right hand and was pleased yesterday to see him using a lot more than he usually does. I commented on it last night and said I was pleased. I haven't seen him use it at all today. Have been having a lot of trouble with my legs at night, and I've treated them. I think my trouble is that I can't keep my mind clear. A lot of unimportant thoughts keep going through my mind. Will feel I've accomplished something if I ever get to the place where I can go into the silence. The practitioners always acknowledge that it is God's healing force that takes place. Reiki is not a religion. It is a treatment. Quentin said last night he's sure he can make the trip. He told me to find out how soon Mount Rainier will be snowed in. The medicine he's taking seems to be doing the trick for him. Don't think he's been wet all day, and that's a relief to both of us. He's listening to an interesting book right now. It's the story of the events leading up to World War II and the effect it had on one family's life. He's enjoying it, even though it does bring back a lot of very vivid memories. I'm so excited about the fiction writing course you're taking, Elaine. I took an English comp class several years ago, and I enjoyed it so much. I was always so excited I couldn't go to sleep for a long time on the night of the class. We'll be vicariously enjoying your classes with you. Lots of love, Mom. September 17th, 1998. Dear Elaine and Alex, I wrote several pages to the other night, but it was all bitching, and I decided I didn't want to send it. I was so angry with myself Sunday morning. I didn't even ask Quentin if he wanted to go to church. I know there were going to be a lot of people there, former members and ministers, and as I was getting ready to go, I looked out the bathroom window, and I saw Quentin sitting in a chair in front of the garden. He was in the sun. I went out and asked if he would like to be moved to the shade. He said the sun felt good on his shoulder, so I let it go. As I was leaving, he was all slumped over in the chair in his frequent position. I waved, and he waved back rather half-heartedly. After I got to church, I was thinking that I could have gotten some of the big guys to help get him upstairs, and I was feeling guilty. Dr. Sherry read a poem that was written by a woman in a nursing home, and it was found a few days after she died. She started out saying how she seemed to appear to them. Just a grouchy old woman. Then she recalled the years, starting when she was 18 and eager to get married. By the time she was 25, she had her family. She continued going through the various stages of her life, and then she said, "Why don't you ever see me? All you see is a grouchy old woman." I didn't quite get all of it, but she was telling how people treated her. I was sitting by a couple from Ellenwood. He cried so hard without making a sound that the bench shook. It was our 56th wedding anniversary, and I was thinking about going back to the Paradise Inn on Mount Rainier. I got started crying, and I could not stop. When I went to the basement for coffee and cake, I was barely under control. And I went up to Charles Prather, who was standing by the serving table, and I said, "Charles, don't you dare sing happy anniversary to me." And he said, "But Madeline, I've already been told by two people to do it." And I said, "If you do, I will lose it and I may never get it back." He didn't sing. When I came home, I told Quentin about it and I cried some more. He said he felt like crying too, but he didn't. I must confess, there are times when I see a rather repulsive old man, rather than really seeing Quentin. Later, he told me that he often feels like a nobody. When he's in a group and the conversation is being bounced around, he wants to participate, but by the time he forms his mind around what he wants to say, the conversation has moved on. I've been making a special effort to sit in a chair in the dining room and talk with him, or to ask what was going on at the news, if he's been watching that. He is looking forward to this trip so much, and going to Mount Rainier. He said one night that he wanted to take this trip, that he wants to have his 80th birthday, and after that, he would be ready to go. My comment was that he probably wouldn't be that lucky. I forgot to tell you that we had lunch with Avis and her husband on Tuesday. We met them at the Amarillo Bar and Grill, and then we went to their house. As we were coming home, Quentin said that that would be the last time we saw them. He said he was over her. He said he lost his nerve to ask her if she'd had a facelift or had something done to her jaw. He doesn't think she looks anything like she did 60 years ago. I told him again that he doesn't look the same either. I think she's changed very little during the years. We are anticipating seeing your house and all of the wonderful things you have to show us. It won't be long now. I went to coffee this morning and I told them the joke about Hillary Clinton changing her name to Sharon Peters. Even the radical Democrats in the group got a kick out of that. Most of us are Republicans, but we respect the right to disagree. We have to be very careful about what we say. I received your beautiful birthday card today and the airline tickets. Thank you very much. I bought a new purse yesterday, which is quite large, and I'm trying to get used to it. This will eliminate a carry-on bag. I have put the tickets in it. If I were to put them in a safe place, somewhere in the house where I would remember them, I would probably never be able to find them again. Lots of love, Madeline. P.S. Leave Wichita, 8:10 a.m. Arrive Portland, 1:49. October 20th, 1998. Dear Elaine and Alex, it has been almost 3 weeks since we came home from Oregon, and I haven't written you a thank you letter. We do thank you. I have wonderful memories, and I'm so glad we were able to be there. The movie in my mind has been going full blast. When I need a quick vacation, I can close my eyes and see the beautiful sights on Mount Rainier. Sometimes I go to the ocean. Right now, I'm visualizing you, Elaine, in your office working on your story for this week. Sometimes my movie is working at your home. Sometimes people will say, it's too bad your trip was spoiled by Quentin's health problems. We only lost 2.5 days, but there were still a lot of good days left. It hasn't been an interesting or fun time since we've been home. The operation will take care of Quentin's immediate prostate problem, but it is taking time to get back to a normal schedule for him. So far, he's been able to use the urinal only once. By the time he realizes he needs to go to the bathroom, it's too late to get there. When I was stripping and changing his bed last night, I couldn't help but comment that there sure were advantages to the catheter. I enjoyed having Gloria here. As I told everyone, I could have gotten Quentin checked in without any help. I've done it so many times, but Gloria is very thoughtful and it was a help. She said I needed to go to a therapist to overcome, as she perceives it, my problem with not being interested in sex. I think if she lived with Quentin for a while, she could understand why I have said I am through. She thought it was shocking when I said I would not remarry. She couldn't see why I wouldn't be willing to get married if some handsome, interesting man were to come along after I became a widow. That conversation certainly points out the changes that take place with age and conditions. She was very indignant about Avis and couldn't understand why I wasn't upset about it. I have certainly been reminded of the situation with my dad. I used to tell my mother that he was not operating with a full deck, and she just had to take that into consideration. That is the way Quentin is. You mentioned, Elaine, that his mind is as sharp as a tack. He is sharp about things in the past. He certainly isn't about the present. There is only one thing that most people cannot see, basically. He has not changed. Years ago, lots of people would say that no one but me could live with Quentin. I never understood what they were talking about, and I still don't understand why they said that. I have never tried to put anyone in a box of my own making. When Mother was here before Greg was born, she was telling me things about Quentin that I should change. I finally told her that I wasn't perfect, and until I was, I couldn't expect him to be. I did tell her, though, that when I became perfect, that he had better watch out. He's not been in danger of having to become perfect during the intervening years. I think I learned at the first cow show we attended on show day, I was not his number one priority. I stayed as far away from him as possible. I had fun visiting with the other women or going into town or doing something else interesting. I didn't sit around sulking and feeling sorry for myself. It was the same way with the farm. He was always busy, and we had no social life in the usual sense. I built my own life. When he told me he was retiring, I told him I had built a life of my own and I was not going to give up everything so I could babysit with him. I have gone so many places alone that I have said several times if I had any sex appeal, I would have been asked out on a date. October 24th. My letter writing got sidetracked someplace during the last few days. I have Quentin in bed tonight, so I will see what I can do. He started passing blood in his urine yesterday. This evening he was so discouraged because he couldn't urinate. He finally did, and he passed a blood clot about 3 inches long. I called the hospital and told it was normal after that surgery, but if he got weak or dizzy from the lack of blood, that I should take him to the hospital. Greg is coming Wednesday. He would have come for the surgery, but I didn't ask him to. I don't want to become dependent on the family to handle things. It would certainly be an easy thing to do. I appreciate the help you and Alex gave us when we were there, and as I said, it would sure be easy to call for help every time. Larry had been rained out, and I was lucky. I had to call him 3 times the first night we were home to come and get Quentin up off of the floor. He offered to take Quentin to the hospital on Monday to have the catheter taken out, but I told him I could handle it. Sunday. I'm so glad you're enjoying the computer, Elaine. Your fiction course sounds wonderful. It sounds better than a creative writing course. I don't think I would be good in either one. I get lots of ideas of things that would make a good story, but I've never gotten anything down but letters on a piece of paper. I get a lot of joy from the way you two enjoy and appreciate your lives. The wisdom and ability to be that way is not appreciated and used by most people. Quentin always said that if he could be anywhere and do anything in the world he wanted to, he would be right here doing exactly what he was doing. I felt like he was a millionaire, as most people cannot make that statement. I certainly can't. I must go. Love you both. Madeline.